Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Welcome to Breaking Beauty, the podcast all about the breakthrough people, products, and moments in beauty. We're your hosts, Jill Dunn and Carlene Higgins.
Welcome back to Breaking Beauty Podcast and Happy New Year, Breaking Beauty fam. Happy New Year to you, Jill. I hope 2024 is your best yet.
Thanks. Happy New Year to you too, Carlene. And, you know, we've been doing this podcast for, this is officially our seventh year. And I mean, we just keep on keeping on.
I know. I love it. So from magazine beauty editors to one of the first beauty podcasters, and what a journey it's been, still delivering the breakthrough people, products, and moments in beauty from day one, and still making our dreams come true, honestly, Jill, with today's guest, one of the most influential makeup artists in history, Mr. Mario Dedovanovic.
Of course, many of you may know Mario as the makeup artist Mario, who really rose to fame as Kim Kardashian's makeup artist. You know, the king of contour in the 2010s for sure. And now he has nearly 14 million followers on Instagram. And it's just incredible what he's been able to achieve from, you know, where he started with his humble beginnings. I love this person.
Oh my gosh. One of my favorite interviews or chats to date, I can honestly say.
Yeah.
And I think that one of the things that can happen when we have a guest on for the second time, which is why I really like that. And we did sit down with Mario a few years ago before he created his makeup line.
Absolutely.
So when we met up with him again in New York, like I gave him a really big hug and, you know, the kind where you like shake the person from side to side.
Oh,
I was just so happy to see him again. And I just, he has such a warm presence about him. So I'm so excited for you guys to hear this epic, epic chat we are about to have. But first, let's talk about the bestseller, as we always do, in his makeup line, Jill.
Yeah. So he launched his line in 2020, I believe. So when we had spoken to him last, I remember him saying that he had made a pact with himself that he didn't want to start a makeup line until he had 20 years of experience as a makeup artist in the industry. Like, he just holds himself to such a high standard.
That's right.
Where we see people like coming up. And no hate, no shade, but like coming up and they've been creating content for 2 years and like, boom, I have a line. It's
right.
Like, he is just like the consummate professional.
Absolutely.
And he takes his artistry so seriously, but he's also just so sweet. So the Makeup by Mario line, you know, funny enough, many people might think that the Soft Sculpt Contour Stick would be like the runaway bestseller, but it's actually his complexion products that he just launched within the last year. The Surreal Skin Foundation, which is around $42, $57 in Canada. I prefer the concealer. I find that the foundation is for drier skin types, but he is definitely making moves in the complexion space.
Yeah. It's all about that kind of shine and glow when it comes to the Surreal Skin. And it was interesting to me, he didn't talk about contouring as much. It was like an afterthought, really, until we asked him about it point blank. And it really told me that we're entering a new makeup era. And I think that's one of the most exciting things. He is really the person to ask, what is the next evolution in makeup? What will that look like?
Yes.
And so he definitely delivers on that front with his best tips on how to create this newer, softer glam that he's become so well known for and how he's taking it to the next level.
He also talks about his favorite lip combo look right now and his lip lifting technique where you don't need any fillers. You don't need a lip lift. Mm-hmm. It's all done with, you know, lip pencil. And really, I think even if you're a makeup novice, you could achieve what he was talking about in with this tip. And on the lips front, he just dropped a brand new product last week called the Super Satin Lipstick.
That's right. The whole collection is inspired by New York because Mario grew up in the Bronx, very humble beginnings. And so he gets very personal with us on the pod about how he went from those humble beginnings to the superstar that he is today. He honestly had us laughing. There were moments of tears. And he's, as he tells us about the doors he had to bang down to get his first job at Sephora, the hurdles he had to jump through to hide being a makeup artist from his family. He gets into the fragrance that brings him back.
And we also speak to him about the 2019 American Influencer Awards and why he felt like that was the right moment to come out and share his full truth. And he also speaks with us about the secret project that he's been working on behind the scenes. I don't think he shared this anywhere mm-hmm. yet. And he even shares some personal goals for himself in 2024 and beyond. And if you all don't know, we do have a YouTube channel. It's at Breaking Beauty Podcast. And our goal is to publish this whole interview on YouTube. So be sure to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and hit subscribe on our YouTube channel. And Carlene, tell everybody about what's waiting for them on TikTok.
Mario went over his most epic, iconic beauty looks over the ages since way back. I think in 2008 was the first look he created for Kim Kardashian. And he gives us his honest reactions, the behind the scenes, definitely some factoids we had never heard before. So you're going to want to tune into that. Come on and join us. Have some fun on TikTok at Breaking Beauty Podcast is our handle.
So without further ado, welcome Mario.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Do you want to start a company but have no idea where to begin? Or do you have dreams of becoming an influencer? Well, the Life with Mariana podcast is here to help. I'm Mariana Hewitt, a Los Angeles-based influencer and co-founder of the clean skincare line Summer Fridays. Each Tuesday, I'm talking to my friends from business owners, wellness experts, and more to share all of their best advice for you to live your best life. Make sure to tune in and subscribe to my podcast and follow me on Instagram @Mariana_Hewitt to see what's coming up each week so you don't miss an episode.
pausing to shout out Timeline Nutrition. They're one of our show partners this week. Tis the season to refresh your top shelf in with the new, you know what I mean? So I wanted to share a new skincare discovery with all of you, and that is Timeline. So Timeline is a Swiss skincare brand, and their secret weapon is called MitoPure. This is a breakthrough cellular longevity compound backed by 15 years of research, and it helps combat the signs of aging. So it's the first and only bioactive that's clinically proven to re-energize cells to help skin combat intrinsic or our biological aging and extrinsic or those environmental aging factors. So far, my favorite product from the line is the serum. It's got MitoPure in there as well as two ingredients that my oily skin loves. There's glycerin for maximum barrier hydration, and there's niacinamide, which I notice helps to subtly brighten my acne marks and helps to make my pores look more refined. So if you want to see a real difference in your skin health, invest in it. If you want to try it for yourself, Timeline Nutrition is offering our community 10% off the Timeline Skin Health line of products at timelinenutrition.com/beauty. That's timelinenutrition.com/beauty, spelled TimeLineNutrition.com/beauty and use code beauty at checkout. We'll link to this offer in our show notes and on our website.
Macy's is sponsoring our show today. So we're talking about where New York girlies get it done these days and some things never change. Macy's will always be a staple in the heart of New York City style. So where else to shop for New Year's Eve looks, especially if you're on a budget? And here's the proof. I double dog dare you to jump onto Macy's.com/ownyourstyle right now. You can shop by category, by all kinds of occasions. Let's say you're looking for ski wear or wear to work trends. And my personal favorite, the going out shop. Okay, here's just a small sampling of the gorge things you can find in here. A feather front strapless top. It's black. It's so cute. $59. Mermaid green sequin strappy mini dress. This is so Kendall Jenner. It looks like liquid on her. $69. They're practically giving it away. There's this Rachel by Rachel Roy mock neck fitted sweater dress. It has like a twist detail at the waist. It's this bright red color. We all know how much red is the vibe this season. It's so slick and frankly looks expensive. It's $111 on sale right now. Then, of course, we've got the most stunning lip options. I'm really feeling Bordeaux this season with like a beige eye or camel. Dior, Chanel, Tom Ford. Or just a touch of sheen in that color, like Clinique Black Honey. I mean, chef's kiss. And remember, Macy's is often having little sales and promo codes, even on these luxury beauty brands. It's like a best kept secret, but we are not gatekeeping. So check out Macy's.com/ownyourstyle to find your New Year's Eve and New Year's looks. And now back to the show.
Welcome back to Breaking Beauty Podcast, Mario. Last time you were on our show, I started the conversation and I was like, you basically invented, I can't feel my mouth, it's too dry. Yeah. Oh my God, you did it. I wasn't going to make you do it this time, but I did. Thank you for indulging me. But it's been like 4 years since you've been on our show and so much has happened since then, including creating your own makeup line. So how has divine intervention played a role in your life and in your career? And do you think it was always kind of like written in the stars?
I love these questions. Divine intervention. I think, well, the majority of it is a lot of hard work. Mm-hmm. And I think sprinkled with a little bit of divine intervention. Has it always been written in the stars? Perhaps. I don't know if it's been written in the stars, you know, with extreme detail.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, I think we are all meant to be and to do something in life. And, mm-hmm. and we have to work towards that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're going to get to know you today a little bit. So we're taking it way back, to when you were mini Mario.
Okay.
What were you like as a kid? Like, what were some of your hobbies, you know, your toys? Tell us about that.
Oh, my God, my toys. Good question. I didn't have a lot of toys because, you know, I grew up really, you know, we didn't have a lot of money. And so I didn't have a lot of toys. I do remember, weirdly, I was into the WWF wrestling. And so mm-hmm. I know I had like a Hulk Hogan toy and I had a Ultimate Warrior toy,
yep.
which I loved. But what I really loved was my sister's toys. And I would kind of sneak or go under the bed or go in the bathroom and play with her Barbies and play with their hair and change their clothing and stuff like that. And so overall, I was a very quiet kid. I looking back now as an adult, I know that I had a kind of suppressed childhood and that I was slightly more feminine than the other kids. Mm-hmm. And so I tried to hide that my whole life. And so I was very quiet. I was very well behaved. I was sort of the teacher's pet at school. I always got along with my teachers more than I did with students. And or maybe just I felt more comfortable with my teachers.
And where was this?
This was in the Bronx. I grew up in the Bronx, New York. We had a little basement apartment and it was me and my two sisters and my brother all sharing a little room. And so, you know, I was exposed to all of their toys and stuff, but I definitely preferred the Barbies.
Yeah. I love that you talked about how teachers kind of, they often create safe spaces for kids. Yeah. And I think that's amazing. There's so many impactful teachers in people's lives and they don't even necessarily know that they're doing it in the moment.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
And I still remember so many of their names. I mean, honestly, like they changed my life.
Yeah.
I had great connections with my teachers in growing up in grade school.
Yeah. I love that. So did you always know that you were going to be a makeup artist?
No, I didn't always know. I knew starting at the first day when I began working at Sephora in 2000, that's when I really knew. But before that, I definitely had interests in makeup. And I remember specific instances like my sister, when she had gotten married, I was 12 years old. And I remember the makeup artist, actually it was a Chanel makeup artist. Her name was Mary. And she put a red matte lip on my sister. And I just feel like I had an epiphany or some sort of outer body experience when that happened, because my sister had never had a red lip on. And so seeing her transform from like my sister, who was, you know, she was 19, I think, when she got married, into this glamorous woman with this red lipstick. And I just feel like it changed her whole aura, you know, she like, and I remember that moment specifically. And also, of course, you know, the whole 90s supermodel and music videos. And I was very impacted and obsessed kind of as a child. Mm-hmm. I had to kind of hide it, but I definitely had a massive interest. And I remember thinking of things, never kind of speaking it, but thinking of things when I would see the women getting dressed or buying clothes, like I would kind of in my head be like, well, I think like her waist should be more this, or I think that her pants need to be a little bit longer. And I was always interested in things like that, but never spoke about it or acted on it. Mm-hmm. And then in high school, I started to experiment with eyebrows because at that time, culturally, men, straight men, were actually doing their eyebrows in the Bronx in New York, very thin. And I got my hands on those tweezers, boy, and I went ham. I did my eyebrow. I was trying to copy like Linda Evangelista's brows, and I went ham. And so I had really, really arched eyebrows, and I started doing my friend's eyebrows. And so that was sort of like my entryway into it before I got the job at Sephora.
One of your first jobs was at Sephora. Yeah. We know that, but you worked in fragrance, not in makeup. And I understand that you had to push really hard to get that job, and you kind of, you know, did stuff that most of us wouldn't do.
Right.
So tell us about that. And is there a fragrance that brings you back? Oh my
God, yes. So to get that job, oh, I'll never forget. So I had walked into the store. It was a brand new concept in the United States. And my mom was with me. So she didn't want me to work there, but I applied anyway. And so behind my mom's back, I kept calling the store. This is like pre-internet, or maybe the internet was around. I just didn't have it. And I kept calling the store and they wouldn't get back to me. They wouldn't give me an answer. And so I remember going to the library and finding the corporate number for Sephora in France. And I just called them. Wow. And I got in touch somehow with Marie-Christine, who still works there. She's still, you know, she's a really high up executive in Sephora France.
No way.
And I saw her recently and she could not believe it. And I got in touch with her and it just so happened that she was coming to the city to interview new people for a new store that was opening in Flatiron. And she told me to come. And I did. And that she gave me the job as a fragrance consultant.
Incredible. The power of the cold call.
Yep.
We don't do that as much anymore, but I feel
determined.
Like it's amazing.
I was determined to work there.
Yeah. And the fragrance that might bring you back to that time?
There's a lot of them. Pre-Sephora, I would say the most nostalgic for me is Drakkar Noir.
Oh yes.
Every man in my family wore that. I still have a bottle of it too. And I, every now and then I'll take a spritz. Another one is Fahrenheit.
Yes.
That one I used to love. These are really like Guido fragrances.
Yeah. Wait, was that Calvin Klein?
Oh, Fahrenheit was Dior.
Dior.
I actually still love it. It's just it's very nostalgic to me.
Yes.
There were so many of them, though, from that time. Kenzo, Lolita Lempicka was one that when I worked at Sephora used to sell a lot. It was very, very sweet.
Very girly. Yeah. That
very
one.
Girly.
It was like the round blue bottle.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. It burned in my brain. I'll never forget that either. And, you know, I also read that you were sort of your first gig as a makeup artist, like, you know, when you got past that, or maybe you were still working at Sephora, was for a cabaret show.
Yeah.
So tell us about that and how you kind of like infiltrated that world.
When I booked that job, by the way, I thought I was like king of New York City because it made me like official, you know. I was actually getting paid to do makeup. So I was working at Sephora.
Yeah.
I actually wasn't even a makeup artist yet. I was still a fragrance consultant, but I was helping these two lovely ladies who were shopping at the Urban Decay counter. And I started helping them, and I started putting, I'll never forget, Moonstone eyeshadow. You remember that one? It was like a tan shade with sparkle. And I started putting that on their lids. And then, you know, casually, they're like, so we're cabaret singers. We have a show in New York. It was a small show. And we'd love it if you can do our makeup. And so basically, I said yes. I was so excited. I didn't have a kit. And so I took to that job a Nike shoebox full of my products that I used to hide in my house as I was building my kit with gratis from Sephora. Mm-hmm. And that's what I went to the job with. And I made $25 and I just thought I was the man.
Because you can swear, the shit.
I thought I was the shit, but that was really the beginning of it all. Like it gave me the confidence that I needed, the boost to know that, okay, this is a career and I can do something here and I am good enough to do this, you know?
I love that. Yeah. That's amazing. What a great visual too.
I know. It's the
Nike box. I'm obsessed. Place to
start. Yeah, it was in Times Square. I never forget. I went like, you know, before they opened and I went in the back. It was really gritty and like dark and, you know, it was not fancy at all. But it was the beginning of my career. So I'm so grateful for it.
So you went from cabaret beginnings to Hollywood, working with the biggest Hollywood faces. Yeah. How did that all come to be?
Well, it's a long story, but, you know, started at Sephora in retail. And then right off the bat, even when I was a fragrance consultant at Sephora at 17, I began building my portfolio. And so, because I was doing a lot of research in the industry and became friends with the makeup artists, I was so hungry to learn and to know, you know, how to become a makeup artist and how to become a good makeup artist. And so at that time, it was the library. I went to the library a lot. I got books and I researched and I became obsessed with magazines and started shooting with photographers for free to build my portfolio while I was also working in retail on the side. And just through that, I began to assist then other makeup artists. And then I kind of had a little stint for like 2 or 3 years where I went into the fashion world as an assistant, assisting really big fashion makeup artists. And that was an incredible experience for me, just in terms of being at that young age, being exposed to the top stylists in the world, top photographers, top, you know, just what it does for your taste level and your just overall experience. And that also helped me a lot to decide that to be sure about sort of me not wanting to go into that realm of makeup artistry. I love it. I appreciate it. I just didn't want to be a part of it full time. It was not the world for me. I preferred a slightly more commercial end of it. I wanted to do more celebrity because I ultimately wanted to become extremely successful. And I felt that in that fashion world, I kind of never had a chance because it took so much hard work and so many years. And there was a small group of people that owned that space. Mm-hmm. And actually today, 24 years later, a lot of them are still there, the same ones. So it's hard to break in. Yes. It's hard to break in. And so I decided that, you know, that was enough for me in that sense. And then I got an agent at 21 and I started, you know, little by little, I started doing a socialites first. And then I started doing, I remember some, you know, Miss Universe winners with some photographers that I worked with and, you know, one celebrity after the other. I remember at that time it was Gina Gershon and it was Natasha Bedingfield. And that like that, it just kind of, you know, went one after the other and I kept growing and working at the same time, you know, still in retail on the side, working in television news, doing anchors, anything I can to make money and stay busy. And that's kind of how it happened.
Builds and it builds.
And so, you know, you obviously became, you know, so synonymous with Hollywood and glam and everything. And, you know, something that moved Carlene and I a lot is when we were watching you accept the American Influencer Artist Achievement Awards in 2019. And it was handed to you by Kim Kardashian. Yes. And it was just so moving. Like, I remember, I can think back to it and I'm almost in tears even thinking about it. So why did you choose that moment to come out publicly? And how do you like reflect on that? Like four years later?
Why did I choose that? That's a great question. I asked myself that question a lot because when it happened, it was not planned at all.
Oh yeah.
It was a feeling that I was having. There were several things happening. I was sort of building my brand from the ground up. I was also at the same time being followed by The New Yorker, by a journalist for 1 year. Oh, yes. They were doing a story, which I had no idea what it was about, but I had this underlying anxiety that like, is she going to ask me about my sexuality? Cause she can't, because how am I going to answer that? How am I going to go around that? Then the other thing was, you know, building the brand and trying to create sort of something so pure from my heart with a pure message and a vision. Yet I am not honest with myself and with the world, you know, even though the majority of people knew already, But I wasn't allowed to ever talk about it, specifically in my culture and, mm-hmm. and with the Albanian community. And the other part was that I had begun working on this deal with YouTube at the time, which I didn't wind up doing. But I had to start filming YouTube videos. And I remember the guy that I'd hired to help me film and edit. And he asked me, and I was like, absolutely not. I will never talk about that. He's like, you can't do YouTube and not just like not talk about that. Right. And so I was struggling. And leading up to accepting the speech, you know, here I was as a makeup artist at that time, at the top of my game. I mean, I really achieved some incredible success, mm-hmm. you know, the masterclasses, brand partnerships, clients. I was so busy as a makeup artist, and yet I was not happy. I was starting the brand and I was just not happy. And I sat down to write my speech, and all of this just started coming out of, like, literally felt like from my stomach. I didn't know what was happening. I didn't know why I was writing all this. I felt almost not embarrassed, but I was like, what, like, who are you? What are you doing? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I just kept writing and writing and writing, and I submitted it. And I remember they were really excited. I remember because I still didn't know, was I actually going to do this? Mm. But then they encouraged me. They said, this is beautiful. Like, if this is what you feel, you should absolutely do it. And so I had the courage to do it finally.
I love that. Yeah. That's very powerful. Very powerful.
Yeah. Powerful, but also at that time, I didn't know or even think. I didn't have time to think about what would the effects of that be or how it impacts other people.
Right.
4 years later, to this day, you would not believe the amount of people that write me whose life that has changed or whose life that has helped mm-hmm. or who have had the courage since then to also come out to their family or to their, yeah. you know, to the public. And so that part of it just makes it so worth it. Even if, yeah. even removing myself from it, like that yeah. alone makes it so worth it.
Yeah. Well, it shows you that how much influence you truly have with your platform and in your yeah. position and how it can influence young people, especially. Had you talked to your family at that point? You had.
About the speech?
Yeah. Like, did they know that this was all?
No, they didn't know this was going to happen. My mom actually went as a surprise. I thought she was going back home to Montenegro. And she actually, my sisters I knew were going to be there in the audience. And then my mom went as a surprise to surprise me. And so, of course, I'm, you know, talking about her in the speech, and she mm-hmm. was actually part of the speech. And so I didn't know the whole time that she was there behind me on the side. Yeah, it was incredible. And just even more so by how much it helped people. And within the Albanian community, it was pretty incredible in that they all supported me after. I really was afraid that they would not support me after.
Yeah.
But they supported me even more.
That's understandable. Yeah. That's a big, just a big deal in every sense, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you just mentioned the masterclass. And I just had a flashback to when Carlene and I went to Sephora 2018, the very first one. And we were literally such nerds. We were sitting front row watching you do your masterclass at Sephora. And I was obsessed. We were literally taking notes in the front and like recording everything you did because we didn't get a chance to talk to you that day. But remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I remember that
as
well.
That was so revolutionary, your masterclass. And like even doing it there, everyone was like,
that was like a mini version, though.
Yes, exactly.
The masterclass is hours long.
Yes, true. You were kind of like, I think maybe a half an hour or an hour doing it.
I missed it so much. I just did one recently in India, and it felt so great to be back on stage. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
Tell us about launching your own makeup brand, walking into a Sephora, you know, seeing it, because that was, I mean, I can't believe since we talked to you last, you've launched an entire line. It's so incredibly popular.
Yeah.
So what has that experience been like?
Nothing like I had ever imagined. It is surreal, literally. I mean, you know, pinch me moments every single day because I do walk by Sephora on my way to work every day.
Yeah.
And so it's still hard for me to believe sometimes that it's real. I often feel like, am I in a dream? Like, is this really happening? Mm-hmm. Is this my office? Are these really my employees? Like, it's wild, but it's a dream come true and quite indescribable in words, the feeling. It's a feeling that it's hard to explain, honestly. I have so much gratitude. When I wake up in the morning with gratitude, I go to bed at night full of gratitude, mm-hmm. you know, because I come from really, really humble beginnings. Mm-hmm. And most people in my situation would not have been able to accomplish this, you know, and because of all of the cultural things and stuff that were in my way in the early days and stuff. And I was able to get past that, thank mm-hmm. God. And it's a blessing. It really is a blessing. And I just can't believe it's real, to be honest.
That's amazing.
And it keeps getting better and it keeps getting bigger and it keeps, you know, growing. And I'm just like, wow. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's such a good, I feel like your story is such the like quintessential New York City story as well. Like just, you know, truly, if you can, you know, make it here, like this is the place to make your dreams happen. You know what I mean? Yeah. And
It's amazing. And you still live here, right?
To this I still
day?
Live here, yeah.
Amazing.
I still live here.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm a
not
New Yorker.
In the Bronx in a basement apartment.
Probably not.
No, not
I don't want to assume.
Anymore. No.
Yeah. Incredible.
Yeah.
So what's one product from your makeup line that would make all of our listeners and everyday Makeup by Mario user, and what makes it like essential?
Just one?
We'll start there.
I have a lot of babies. Okay. That one right there is one of my favorites.
Okay, good.
Enhancer. But I would say maybe, okay, let's say the Surreal Skin Awakening Concealer.
Okay.
There's something very special about that formula in that you don't have to use a lot of powder with that formula. Mm. And I think that was sort of my goal in creating this formula was, you know, I think looking at social media over the past several years, you know, you see that a lot of people are using so much product, but it's so unnecessary.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to create, and then on top of that, of course, all the powders and stuff like that. And it's like, if you're not going on stage or if you're not, you know, on the red carpet, you don't need all that stuff. And so I wanted to create a formula that would allow people to use a lot less product and not have to use so much powder over it. And so it's self-setting, it dries down so easily, it blends easily. And so I would say that product.
Oh, yeah. I actually put it on today, but I don't think I said it right. Maybe tell me your tips for setting it.
You look awakened AF. I think you
really?
It looks perfect
okay,
on you.
Okay. Yeah. Do I look surreal?
Yes. Surreal skin. Yes.
Because that's one of your latest products, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
That was cool. That was a launch this year.
Okay.
It was one of our biggest launches.
Okay. Now I am looking at what is this exact name?
This is the enhancer. This is the Soft Sculpt Transforming Skin Enhancer. And
okay.
My favorite shade, actually, light medium.
Okay. Can I ask you this? This is because we've had many amazing makeup artists on our show. Most recently, Patty Dubroff, who raved about this.
Love.
So, but you need to tell me how to use this because with the name, I'm not entirely sure. But so we have the man here. So I'm going to ask.
Okay.
I'm being selfish.
You know, this is funny you're saying. So this is one of my like true babies. I'll tell you how it kind of started, this product. I almost pretty much created this in the office with my team. It started out as a product I was looking at innovation. It was just a balm, a clear balm. Mm-hmm. And so I loved the texture of it and how it felt on the skin. And so then I took my little mixing thing and I took a little bit of a darker concealer. I took a little tiny smidge of like a pearl and I started mixing and then I put it on my face and I just remember the girls in the office like, what is that?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, this is my dream product. I like to be tan and I hate self-tanning because it just smells and it's like, you know, messy. And so I wanted something pretty much like that, kind of selfishly for myself, that I could put on so quickly without having to put layers of other things on. And it evolved into the Soft Sculpt Transforming Skin Enhancer. And people are use this product in so many different ways.
Okay.
You can use this all over just with a brush and then kind of put your concealer over and sort of then just set your face, right?
Okay.
The way that I love to use this and the way that it's become really popular is I actually use this over powder. So I will do the complexion first. Mm-hmm. And then instead of putting bronzers and contouring and stuff like over the complexion, what I do is I take a brush, my double-sided brush, and I take a little bit of the enhancer and I just press it right over. It grips onto the foundation powder so beautifully, where you don't have to put anything else over. And it leaves this like subtle, gorgeous, like luminous glow to the skin. And then you don't have to put anything else over it. You can set it with more bronzer or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's just every makeup artist that I know, this is probably one of their top.
Yeah.
And this is the product that people stop me in the street about a lot.
Wow. I love that.
There we go. We just got a mini tutorial.
Yeah.
It's just great. The colors are great and it's very sheer, but it gives you just the perfect amount of pigment.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Now I'm going to be all over that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about your Surreal Skin Foundation.
Yes.
So this came out not that long ago. What can you tell us about what made it really different for your first foundation? Like, what did you want to achieve? And what are your tips for applying that one?
I wanted to achieve so many things. Probably the list is so long. I remember talking to my PD team and when we first began, because this started way before it came out, we couldn't afford to do foundation, but I started looking at formulas like in 2020 or 2019, basically. Mm-hmm. And I wanted so many things. I wanted a more natural foundation that's obviously buildable. But what I really wanted was a luminous foundation that had grip, because a lot of times luminous foundations are slide all over the face. And I don't like that feeling of when a product is sliding. I like to feel like secure.
Yeah.
And so I wanted a product that was slightly luminous, that was very buildable, but also that you could, gives you coverage, but you can still see through to your natural complexion.
Okay.
Because my pet peeve is when you put something on the complexion that is either so yellowy or so orange, and then it's so different from the rest of the skin. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't happen with Surreal Skin Foundation because it always allows the natural skin to shine through. Mm-hmm. My other thing with Surreal Skin was that it had to work for my hyper glam girl clients, mm-hmm, and it had to work for the natural girl. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. So that was the difficult part to achieve, which mm-hmm. we did really well.
Yeah. Okay.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay. Yeah, amazing.
I'm putting in a request. I'm oily skin, so I need something for the oily girls.
Okay. Stay tuned.
Okay. Right. Okay.
Stay tuned.
Okay. Fingers crossed.
Amazing.
I love that you just said that. I was having a meeting at work about that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey. Okay. I'm available for lab sample testing.
Oh, my God. I'm going to take you up on that.
And breaking news, you just dropped a new lipstick collection. It's called Super Satin Lipstick.
Yes.
It came out right after Christmas. So why is this so needed right now? And what's the shade that just says 2024? Or like, what's the shade right now that's speaking to you the most in the collection?
Okay. So why is it needed? It's a classic creamy lipstick tube. I think we've seen so many, you know, we've seen so many different forms of lipstick become popular over the past several years, right? There's the full coverage mattes. And then mm-hmm. now we've been in this lip oil and very moisturizing lip products. And I'm really longing for just a good old fashioned classic, creamy, comfortable lipstick that you can just wear every day. Right. And so that's what we developed with the Super Satin lipstick. It's just one swipe coverage. It's very, there's something quite elegant about it. It's just natural. It feels great on the lips. You know, it's an essential to me. And I think we needed it. I felt like we needed it in the brand yeah. to sort of round up our lip collection because we have a matte lipstick bullet. We have Moisture Glow Plumping Lip Serum. We have liquid lipsticks. And I wanted just a beautiful cream because those are my favorites. You know, I've always used a palette of cream lipsticks on everybody.
Yeah.
And so now we finally have it in the lipstick tubes.
Incredible.
Yeah. And it's inspired by New York. Obviously, everyone in the world thinks I'm from LA. Everyone, literally, you know, I guess because I'm a celebrity makeup artist, yeah. but everyone's surprised to hear that I'm from New York. So I was like, and all my inspiration really stems from those early days in New York, right? Where I learned how to become a makeup artist. Those early New York days for me were the start of everything and were the initial sort of inspiration for my entire career. And so the shades are all in the collections inspired by New York and by different areas and cities and neighborhoods in New York. And I do have a favorite shade for sure.
Okay.
It's called Bronx Baby.
Okay.
Of course.
Bronx Baby is my baby. Obviously, I'm from the Bronx, born and raised. And for me, it's that perfect, universal, everyday nude shade. It's not, Ooh. But it's actually not too nude. It has some color in it. There's a lot of popular nudes in the market, but I wanted one that's like a little bit more, just a slight more pop to it, right? So that you don't have to use too much liners and too many things.
Okay.
And so Bronx Baby, I think, is that girl.
Yeah, love it. And you have a special technique for applying, right? Applying your lipstick, like a little lift.
I have a few different ones, yeah.
Yeah, what's the Get Ready With Me lips edition these days?
So it depends on what I'm doing. It has been, the past couple of years, I've been doing a lot of the lip lift using the Ultra Suede Sculpting Lip Pencils. And, you know, that technique, basically, it's an old technique. I didn't invent it, but it's one I've used for many years. And then I kind of just called it the lip lift because at the same time, this procedure called lip lift, yeah. it's a plastic surgery procedure, became very popular. And so I'm just kind of like, well, you could do that with a pencil, literally,
you know,
it's so easy. And
so what do you do?
You just overline the top, but not the corners of the mouth.
Yeah.
It's almost like just lifting Cupid's bow.
Yeah.
And that, you know, one of the early signs of aging is you have more space between your upper lip and your nose. Mm-hmm. And so this sort of shortens that space again. Mm-hmm. And then you do the same thing on the bottom, just making sure not to overline the outer corners, which again, sort of brings down the face.
Right.
And so that went viral when we released that technique and the Ultra Suede Sculpting Lip Pencils. And so I often do that when I'm working, right? But there's other techniques and things that I love to do. Right now I'm really into undone right now, like slightly undone. I'm into like a more blurred lip line.
Yeah.
I still use the liner, but I love to go over now directly with the tube and just pat, 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 and just almost like with your finger, make it a little lived in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the vibe that I've been really doing right now.
I can do that. I can achieve
everybody
that.
Can do that.
Do that.
I think it's needed. I think, you know, it's been so much about this flawlessness and this, you know, perfection. And it's like, you know, even though I do a lot of that makeup on clients, mm-hmm. there's always elements of a more lived in, and that's how you keep it modern.
Totally.
And so I just think I love that as a trend coming, you know?
Yeah.
And what aesthetic are you kind of feeling the most for this decade? And how has your style kind of changed from when you first came on the scene, like the 2010s, you really defined that era certainly. And then how do you look forward in this decade? What's kind of inspiring you?
I can't keep up with the trends. I just feel like every day there's a new trend. I think we're still seeing a lot of like 90s trends coming back, which is incredibly inspiring to me, obviously. I think we're going to still see very natural, you know, going even more natural with products mm-hmm. and formulas. I think for me personally, you know, it's funny. I was looking at I'm working on a project right now where I've had to sort of go into my archives and let me tell you, some of the stuff I did when I was 18, 19, it really stands strong today.
Ooh.
Like it, you know, clean, beautiful, just classic beauty. And there's something to be said there. I love classic beauty.
Yeah.
When everything is balanced and harmonious. And so that's what I'm always feeling for myself. Mm-hmm. Definitely in the 2010s with Kim together is mm-hmm. when we popularized this like more sort of really glam and like, you know, light, brightened under eyes. And that was also fun. I'm definitely softer in my approach nowadays. Mm-hmm. You know, I think part of the hype of all that was that people loved it so much. And so I wanted to give people what they wanted, you know, and so we both did. And so it was so fun. And I'm so grateful for that whole era.
Yeah.
But definitely I'm into a more natural, a softer glam. I still love a polished look and a polished aesthetic. But I think, you know, there's a time and a place.
Yeah.
I don't think it's appropriate for everywhere.
Yeah.
And so I'm always kind of separating now because I'm doing product development for the everyday people at home. Mm-hmm. But then I have my job as a you know, serious makeup artist. So I like to balance those two worlds and kind of give a little bit to each.
Yeah. Are you able to tease what you're working on?
Oh boy. We have, no, I'm not because I always get in trouble.
Okay, fair.
But I can say this. I can say this. We have a beautiful, robust assortment of innovative, beautiful formulas coming out in 2024 that I'm super excited about.
Okay.
For the
project of the archive.
Get in trouble on that one?
I don't know if I'm allowed to say. Yeah, I mean, it's my project. Yeah, I finally started to work on a book, a makeup slash personal book as well. So, you know, that's nowhere near ready. That's probably going to be like 2 or 3 years, but I've began the process of it.
What are a few key steps to achieving your signature soft glam look? I know this is ridiculous. We're asking you this in like such a short time frame, but maybe there's like one or two tips you can tell us are really key.
Okay. I do so many steps because I work in very like thin layers and I layer a lot of product, but like in very thin layers.
Right.
I would say, I guess, okay, so I do brows first. So I do the brow first, and then I go ahead and I do just a little bit of an eyeshadow. Then I clean under the eyes, and then I do Surreal Skin foundation all over the face except for under the eyes. And I then apply concealer, Surreal Skin Awakening Concealer, and I also use it in areas that I want to highlight, like just the nose here, anywhere where I want to bring a little illumination to the complexion. And I set with powder, and then like I was mentioning before, I've cut down my process actually quite a bit. I used to use multiple products to get this look. And so now I'll just use, for example, the enhancer with a brush. And I just go around the perimeter of the face, like literally just tapping it. And it grips onto the complexion products. And I give it a spray. And it's just so fresh and soft. It lasts day and night, which is important for me as an artist. Because, you know, if you do a beautiful makeup, but it doesn't last until they get to the carpet, there's no use, you know?
Yeah.
And so lasting power and longevity is very important for me as an artist. And so that's kind of a little bit of the 3-hour process that I do.
Yeah, got it. And did everyone notice the word contour was not used once in that?
Oh, wow. You see? It's called soft sculpt now.
Yes, exactly.
Got it.
Exactly. Do you have a setting spray in your line? Or do you have one that you
currently.
Like? Okay.
We don't currently.
Got it.
I'm sure we will.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Yes. what about skin prep? This is the question we get asked the most. And there's this like raging debate on TikTok right now about people saying their primers and their foundations don't go well together. But I've always said, I actually think it's your skin prep that's messing with everything. So can you share a little bit about what you've learned and what you think works really well?
I think there are some primers and foundations that don't mesh well together, which is the reason why historically I've never used primers in my career. I've always used just moisturizer as the basic prep. So I just do like a wipe on the face to give it a light exfoliation. I do a very emollient moisturizer all over. I kind of let that sit a little bit. And then I go over with the makeup. Mm-hmm. Now, that being said, I work with clients whom have access to the best skincare prep in the world. Mm-hmm. And so luckily I don't have to worry or stress too much because when they sit on my chair, their skin is beautiful.
They've just come from Joanna Chek, Vargas,
everything you could imagine.
Yes.
I mean, stuff that even like, I know what they do and I'm just like, it is exhausting because I could never do all of this. It's too much, too much time.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I've always just done, been really simple when it comes to prep. And I also am like that on myself as well. Mm-hmm. I still use Neutrogena cleanser and I just one moisturizer and that's it.
Wow. What's the moisturizer?
I changed them around. Right now, I'm currently using the light cream from Augustinus Batter.
Okay.
I went from the regular cream to the light cream.
Okay.
And that being said, I'm also like starting to play with a lot of primers now, but it really does make a difference what foundation it is that you're using with the primer, because if it has a different base, like silicone versus water versus oil, they won't mesh well sometimes.
Yeah.
And so it's about finding what works great for your skin. But I'm definitely intrigued by this world of primers that I never really stepped into too much before.
Right,
there's some incredible ones out there.
Yeah.
And it just depends, you know?
It's funny you mentioned that because I have decided I'm de-influencing primers. I hate them.
Oh my God.
Because they've like screwed me up so many times. So I just use a setting spray and now I love setting sprays.
Yes.
But I have always thought, I wish that somebody would just come out with like a primer foundation set together. Like a dual ended or a dual pan, some kind of dual situation where it's like, take the guesswork out of it for me. Make it match. Make it go together.
Oh, wait, you just really inspired me.
Honestly, please do this, Mario.
Okay.
Yeah.
Please do this.
Because why not?
Are you going to want royalties?
No, but just a sample, please.
Lifetime supply, please.
But honestly, the guessing game has to go.
I'm curious, in spite of having this makeup lab wonder playground at your fingertips, what are your top three ride or die makeup products that are not from your online, but you just simply can't part with them?
There's a lot. I would say the majority of them are the like BTS makeup brands that are like, you know, the theater, television, film brands, RCMA, Ben Nye. There's so many of them. RCMA, Ben Nye, Kryolan. Mm-hmm. And those are more like for pigments and things like that, powders and creams that I mix. Mm-hmm. But then some more known ones, good old L'Oreal Voluminous.
Yes.
It's my ride or die. Mm-hmm. I'm on year 24 with that, with that mascara, and I still haven't found anything to replace it. Aside from ones, hopefully, that I will be coming out with in the future. And then, oh my God, a good old drugstore eyelash. I just think they're the best. The drugstore eyelash, like Ardell, like WSBs and like the little individual clusters. For me, they're the most natural eyelashes. Right. Beauty blender.
Yeah.
I love a beauty blender. So yeah, I'm sure there's way more. I just can't think right now off the top of my
head.
Those are
great.
But yeah. Those are some of them.
So looking ahead, what are you personally manifesting for the future? And how are you manifesting? Do you do a practice?
Yes, I've always manifested. I mean, I manifest different ways. I connect with nature a lot. And so I do just your basic typical meditation in the morning. Usually that's the very first thing I do the second I get out of bed, anywhere from 10 minutes to 30 minutes. Within that meditation, I always do my gratitude practice where I just kind of do a list in my head of like everything I'm grateful for and sort of envision those things as well. Right now, one of the biggest things I'm manifesting is children. I really would like to have 2 or 3 kids. Oh. Yeah. And I'm getting a little older now, so I feel like the pressure's on. And so I got to figure that out. So that's that. And of course, you know, the continued success of the brand and growing the brand and, you know, fulfilling all of my visions for the brand and for life. Yeah.
That's beautiful. Beautiful.
We'll be rooting for you.
Yes,
thank you.
Absolutely. So we have a few rapid fire questions we're going to ask you, and then we're going to do an exclusive TikTok video. Everybody, you have to check us out at Breaking Beauty Podcast to see that. So rapid fire, Mario, any resolutions for the new year ahead?
Oh, yes. To balance my business and personal life a little bit better, to have a little bit more time for like rest and relaxation and, you know, grounding and all that stuff.
Yeah. You must get up at 5 a.m. to do the 30-minute meditating. Do
you? I get up anywhere from like, you know, 4 or 6 or 5 or, you know, it just depends on where I am or what I'm doing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm an early riser.
How would you describe your personality in 3 words?
Personality, creative, empathetic, giving.
I love that. What's the one thing that always makes you smile?
You. Because that just made me smile. Let me see. The one thing that always makes me smile, I would say like nature, plants, flowers, trees.
Yeah. Okay. One thing that makes you sad.
One thing that makes me sad.
Or makes you cry. Could be a movie.
Oh, it makes me cry. Everything. I cry at everything. I'm a super emotional, empathetic person. So I it's very easy to make me cry.
What about, what's been the most surprising thing to you as a brand founder?
So many things. I would say for me, I'm just like, just surprised at like how much the human brain can actually take, like how, like the capacity to like the amount of information and things that we can take as a human. You know, when you have a brand, especially in their early years, it is hard, you guys. It is like another level. Like you have to be cut from a certain cloth to be able to do it.
Are you good at Excel spreadsheets now?
Absolutely not. I never was, and I probably never will be. I can read them though.
Yeah, exactly. Get to the bottom line.
And one thing you would change about the beauty industry, if you could.
I would say this sort of old school way of marketing that sort of like triggers an insecurity in you, that I would change. I feel like that's really outdated and it's not necessary in today's age. Like there's so many more creative and better ways to sort of sell a product. And so I still see that in the industry. So I would say that.
Okay.
And your hidden talent that's going beyond makeup.
I have quite a few. I'm quite the handyman. Stop. Yeah, I could. Yeah, I can do anything around the house or in the yard or domestic as well. Like I'm really good with house things. I mean, I could fix things. I can hang things. I can power wash. I can, you name it.
Okay, leaf blower. Have you ever used one of those?
I have 3 of them. Yes.
No.
Yes.
You're joking me.
I'm not joking.
I'm obsessed.
Me and my husband both.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Oh my God, it's my pleasure. Been our honor to have you come and spend time
this
with
was
us.
So fun. Thank you, guys.
Because we know how busy you are getting this amazing brand off the ground. So, and our listeners are going to be obsessed because they've been wanting to have you back. So thank you for spending time.
Thank you guys for having me. Are you kidding me? It's an honor.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. And tune into our TikTok at Breaking Beauty Podcast because Mario is going to react on camera to some of his past makeup looks. Oh. So tune in.
Thanks for listening. You can find details on every product mentioned in today's episode, along with our exclusive promo codes on our blog at breakingbeautypodcast.com.
While you're there, be sure to sign up for our newsletter. Every episode will be delivered directly to your inbox, so you won't miss a single thing.
And get social with us. Let us know what you think of the episode. You can follow us on Instagram at Breaking Beauty Podcast.
And did you know we also have a private Facebook group? Just search Breaking Beauty Podcast Chat Room.
You can even leave us a voicemail at any time with questions or feedback at 1-844-227-0302.
And don't forget to subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast fix. Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts, where you can show us some love by writing a review.
See you next Wednesday.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.